T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold with you. Jay Binkley in for Cody Tapp today. Reminder coming up in 15 minutes. It's a snitch line Thursday, 913-576-7610. That's the number to call in or text in. You got something to get off your chest, something that's been bugging you for a while. Although I think we got a couple snitches essentially based off that random question of today. People admitting to some things that maybe it was 20 years ago, but that still is valid. That's still the stuff we want.
We've had our immature times, man.
We're having a good time here on a Thursday. Let's continue to have a good time and welcome in our guy Paul Charchi and Charge over at guillotineleagues.com, presented by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views, to talk some fantasy football. And Charge, when it comes to the Chiefs, a lot of people focused in on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It has not been a good start. What, 3.3 yards per carry? Is this on a fantasy realm something to be concerned about all season?
Yeah, I'm pretty much ready to hit the panic button if he can't get something done in this game. This is a very positive matchup. By the way, hi, Jay.
Hi, Charge.
Nice to talk
Charge
to you.
Charge Nato. Good talking to you, my friend.
You know, Cody Bales, he won't do this segment because he spent $507 of fab
Nick
money.
Chubb.
On Nick Chubb. And funny, he won't show up for work.
I wondered, I put in a bid for over $300. I wondered if that was enough. But yeah, he said, screw it. Let me just spend. Although last week, someone spent $800 on Joe Mixon in that league.
Which
Charge.
The
For our listeners, they're probably confused. That's a media league we have with Charge. As far as our listener league that we have with everybody, Charge, I don't know if I spent too much after having a close call. I almost got eliminated, stayed alive by 3 points. The guy I was going up against had Jamal Williams, and so I was fortunate he didn't have a big game. So I went out and spent $289 on DK Metcalf.
You mean leagues Charge has won me?
Yeah.
Through the years?
I don't know.
I owe this guy. Well, I owe you a lot, but I'm not giving it to you. But yeah.
Right.
Clearly, I owe
sure.
you.
No cash coming back my way.
No.
You know, DK Metcalf, the catch on DK Metcalf, especially in a guillotine league, is he does have these games where he just sort of disappears. And, you know, then, you know, the next game, he looks unstoppable. And so those disappearing games are very tricky, and they're hard on your fantasy soul because you get like three guys who do that in the same week. And the next thing you know, you're battling for your life on Monday night, needing your tight end to get you 7 catches and 70 yards. And so those are tricky. You spend a lot for DK Metcalf. Hopefully it'll even out between what he and Tyler Lockett have been doing so far. But back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Let's not drop the most important part of this conversation. Since his debut game in week one of last year, he has topped the fairly modest mark of 79 rushing yards. One time. He has scored in 4 of his 15 games, and he doesn't get the easy touchdowns. On 10 career attempts inside the 5-yard line, he has scored 2 times. And then the other part that's weird is he's just not involved in the passing game like he should be. He is a good pass catching back. Over his last 14 games, he's averaging 17 receiving yards. That's it. Now, the reason I said we got to watch this game, Chargers come in with a league-worst 144 rushing yards per game on 5.5 yards per carry. If this should be the game where it all comes together for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Let's hope that's the case. And if it is, then I'm going to feel a lot better about him going forward. But, man, if he can't perform here, he's going to start turning into a guy that we have to not just start every week. We're going to have to look at a week-by-week basis and talk about whether or not you dare put him in your lineup.
Derek Carr, Charge, leading the NFL in passing yards. You buying this or not? Because we've seen this out of him. Matter of fact, we've seen this team go 6-4 the last 2 years out of the first 10 games. Looks great, but then comes back to reality.
Jay, Derek Carr and Vegas has the perfect recipe for passing yardage. You've got a dubious defense providing negative game scripts. You've got an unreliable running game. You got a pretty good quarterback who with now has got some young, decent emerging receivers like Henry Ruggs and Brian Edwards. And then, of course, an elite tight end in Darren Waller, maybe the best tight end in the league. No offense to Travis Kelce. And here's the other part of the equation. Las Vegas is leading the NFL in pass attempts. I mean, just by sheer volume. So yes, I think this continues. I think I think Derek Carr is going to be an ongoing fantasy producer, especially for yardage. And I don't think it's changing. This is a pretty good situation for his fantasy owners.
So you're saying this even when Josh Jacobs comes back? Because Kenny and Drake's been crap. They've had to go to Peyton Barber, but a healthy Josh Jacobs, you think that changes it at all?
Only a bit. Josh Jacobs isn't great either. He's better than Kenyon Drake. It turns out a lot of guys are better than Kenyon Drake. But he, to me, he's like a B running back. I don't think he materially changes things. I think he is a good, not great back. And I still think this Vegas offense is going to be largely winning, losing games through the air with Derek Carr.
The text line, not happy about the Darren Waller, Travis Kelce comment. We're just going to gloss over that. We're going to move away from that one as we're talking to Paul Charchian of GuillotineLeagues.com. Going to New York here with the Giants and Saquon Barkley, who's never been healthy as of late, it seems. 10 days rest, though. At this point, like, how much stock can you put into him the rest of this season?
This is another guy with sort of a watershed moment right here for Saquon Barkley. Everybody, including me, expected these first two games for Barkley to be very lightly used. Now, it's been worse than that. He has been lightly used, but other than his 40-yard scamper last week, he's averaging 1.8 yards per carry. That's it. Now, the reason this is an important game, you touched on part of it, the 10 days rest, but also Atlanta's allowing the sixth most yards per carry. And they've missed the ninth most tackles. And they've also allowed the ninth most receiving yards to opposing backs. And Barkley's a great receiving back. So you roll all that together, and this feels like a watershed opportunity for Barkley. And let me mention this as well. I went back and looked at other running backs coming off ACL. For many of them, week three is when the usage took the big uptick, where they start the season slowly, and then week three it takes off. I'll give you an example. Adrian Peterson's big 2,000-yard season, whatever it was, 2015. Week one, 10 carries. Week two, 12 carries. Then Adrian Peterson's week three, 29 touches. So if Barkley is going to be on that kind of progression, I think we see the big uptick in usage this week.
Charge, bear with me. Justin Fields! I think he's the second-best quarterback in this draft behind Trevor Lawrence. Makes his start. Everybody had stashed him. Now you can go, right?
Maybe. This is not an ideal landing spot for a first NFL start against a defense that's way better than people think. This was a pretty spotty Browns defense last year. You guys saw it. This Browns defense held your squad in check for three quarters. And then just at the end, just couldn't control Patrick Mahomes for four quarters. Justin Fields is a different story. And this is a secondary that added Troy Hill in free agency. Denzel Ward comes back from injury. First round draft pick Greg Newsome looks great. Myles Garrett's already racked up eight pressures in two games. This is not an easy team to pass upon, but we love Justin Fields for the running anyway, and the Browns have already given up rushing touchdowns to Patrick Mahomes, you remember, and Tyrod Taylor last week. So hopefully the Bears will take a page from the Ravens and use a bunch of designed running plays for Fields, utilize what he does best, and go try to win at least chunks of this game with Justin Fields' legs. And if that happens, that's where fantasy owners get paid.
Talking to Paul Charchian from GuillotineLeagues.com. Charch joins us each and every Thursday at 1 o'clock. We got Thursday Night Football tonight, a huge showdown, you know, with Sam Darnold and Davis Mills. Carolina, significant favorites in this game, but from a fantasy perspective, with that Texans defense and maybe some added pressure that now that Davis Mills is starting, not Tyrod Taylor, who's been serviceable and looked good until his injury. I mean, Chris McCaffrey, we know. Who else here on Carolina tonight?
you've got other options because Houston's a bad defense. They, you know, granted, on paper right now, they look like an okay defense because they faced Trevor Lawrence in his rookie debut and then the run-centric Browns offense that just didn't really pass very much. So on paper, they look okay. But we know the Texans' corners are hot garbage, and there's going to be opportunities for Sam Darnold. Darnold's coming off a 300-yard, two-touchdown game, and this is an easier opponent for him. I like him as a sneaky sleeper play. I like DJ Moore a lot. He's not even that sneaky. He's my number five ranked wide receiver this week. Juicy matchup against perennial burn victim Vernon Hargraves III, who has already given up 20 touchdowns in his coverage in his four-year career, well, 3 years and two games. This is a great opportunity for DJ Moore. Robbie Anderson hasn't done much, but he ranks number one in average targeted air yards at 21.5 yards per throw. If any one of those connect against this garbage secondary, Robbie Anderson could be sitting on a really nice game too, and he's another sneaky play. So yeah, I think there's some nice Panther options outside of the obvious Christian McCaffrey.
What about Houston, Charge? Davis Magic Man Mills. I don't know if that's a nickname or not, but it sounds good. Making his only his 15th start when you go back to Stanford, but a lot of people thought he had first round talent.
Yes.
What do you expect from them?
And you hit right on it, Jay. The plan for Mills was to not have to play at all this year because he was so green without having, you know, whatever it was, 14 starts in college. They didn't want him to have to start this soon, but now here he is. And he doesn't even have the built-in advantage that some rookie first-start quarterbacks will have where the defense hasn't seen anything on you and has no live tape of you outside of preseason games. So you get a little advantage of surprise, but Davis Mills had to go play half a game. So he put a bunch of tape together, and so defenses already know, Carolina's already going to know, a lot of how to stop Davis Mills. The only guy in Houston you can consider playing, and especially because the Panthers' run defense has been awesome, is Brandon Cooks, who has found ways to be fantasy viable in all of his different starts, regardless of good and bad quarterbacking, and he's the only guy that I've got a starting grade on in the entire Houston team.
Paul Charchi on GuillotineLeagues.com, presented by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Always good to check in with you, Charch, and we'll see if the Nick Chubb bid for Cody and I guess the DK Metcalf bid for myself pay off or not.
Alex, we will look forward to a day of reckoning next Thursday.
Absolutely. Bye-bye, it's always good to talk to Charge, get some advice. And Brandon Cooks for the Texans is about all you got tonight in fantasy football.
Not a believer in Mills.
I got Robbie Anderson.
Not for the Texans, though, for Carolina.
Yeah, but I mean, in the Guillotine League, I have Robbie Anderson
he says
going against
in for a big night. Also, he likes DJ Moore.
Yeah, that's right.
In good shape.
Need that because I keep forgetting to put in waiver bids. So
that's problematic. I mean, although if you keep,
I'm playing one running back every week, so that's cool too.
So far, it hasn't hurt you, right? Okay. So you were comfortable. All it takes is one week. Like Sean Barber was on the chopping block almost last week, and then he ended up having like the fourth highest points.
Speaking of Sean Barber, you can't get rid of Sean Barber.
Yes,
we have been in deep, deep trade discussions. In the Guillotine League.
What does he want?
He's flexing on me, man. He wants too much.
What does he want?
He wants a wide receiver. He wants Robbie Anderson. But he's asking too much,
what's he giving,
man.
He wants you to give up Robbie Anderson. What's he giving you?
He wants me to give him Robbie Anderson and $125 for Tyson Williams.
No. No.
That's what I said.
He
can't be reasoned with.
Tell him you'll give him $50. And even then, I don't know, man. Like, he drafted Tyson Williams late, which is fine. It was a good pick on his part now because he is a starting running back.
He's got so many running backs. He's got Tyson Williams. He's got James Robinson. He's got Derrick Henry. He's got Mike Davis.
Just hold out. Oh, well, Mike Davis. He bit a lot of Mike Davis. He hadn't been good at all for Atlanta so far. Mike Davis is
tough to draft a running back for a team that can't pick up first downs. That's
yeah. Well, he didn't draft Mike Davis. He just spent like $150 on him this week.
And by the way, Sean Barber ain't got any wide receivers, man.
Well, there it is.
Come on, Sean.
So if there's listeners in our Guillotine League, now you know what Nick's working on. You can try to step in the middle of that one.
No, we've already formed a trade alliance. Don't even waste your time.
Yeah. Huh? It is a snitch line Thursday. If you've got something to snitch on, start sending those in. 913-576-7610. Real quick, though, before we get to the snitch line, you got something to get off your chest. Now is the time to start sending those in. It is also time to eliminate some more teams. Bink, we've been going through this since training camp started up at St. Joe. We've got to get down to four remaining teams by week six, each one of us. So far, this is who we've each eliminated from being in the AFC or NFC title game, because that's the name of the game. By week six, you have to pick your four teams who you think will be in their respective conference championship game. So, for example, I'm not going to go through every single one for everybody, but like Houston and the Broncos and the Eagles and the Colts, Giants, for example, are a couple of the teams that I've eliminated, including the Raiders and Steelers. The Raiders are 2-0, the Broncos are 2-0. I did eliminate them already. I still feel very confident that neither of those teams will be in the AFC championship game. I'm adding a couple more teams to my mix. The Atlanta Falcons. Go ahead, eliminate them. Not concerned about them. Probably should have already done that. But Atlanta, on the list. The Detroit Lions, now added to mine as well, along with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Going out on that limb.
You've got to eliminate at some point.
I know. Should have been your first eliminations.
But. Yeah, but I couldn't eliminate 12 teams week one. That's not any fun. We got to get to week six here.
How'd the Bengals survive this long?
I don't know. Because I was taking my time to eliminate them. If I eliminated 20 teams right off the bat.
You have a slow rollout, man. It's all about the presentation.
Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Falcons, Lions, Bengals added to my list. Cody's not here today, so he doesn't get to eliminate any more teams. He's stuck with whatever he had last week. He's got to wait till next week to do that. Nick, where are you going?
I keep double eliminating teams. I'm like, I'm going to eliminate Washington today. I already eliminated them 3 weeks ago. I will also be joining you by eliminating the Bengals. Mm. I will be eliminating the Colts. I will be eliminating the Dolphins, and I will be eliminating the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
I like it.
So I
the clock has struck midnight on Big Ben.
I think I have all four of those as well.
Because the clock.
Yes, good stuff.
Yeah, he's saying he's out of time.
Bink, do you disagree with any of the teams we've already? Again, this is not to make the playoffs. This is to be in the conference championship games. Okay.
100%.
It's going to get, once we get to week four or five, it gets interesting because we're going to have to start eliminating some teams that actually are going to make the playoffs, maybe even win their division. We just don't have faith in it. At some point, someone's going to have to eliminate, you know, a combination of either the Titans or the Ravens or the Chiefs or the Browns, something like that. It'll be interesting. So those are a couple more teams we wanted to eliminate. All right, though, Nick, it's time. Let's get to it.
The number you have reached.
You've called the snitch line.
And if I have to tell you again, we're going to take it outside and I'm going to show you what it's like.
913-662-1270.
Leave him alone!
Please leave your message for Thursdays at 1:15 on Cody and Goal.
And if you think I'm kidding, just try me. Try me.
So we're good?
Snitch Line Thursday here on Cody and Gold. 913-576-7610. Now is the time to call or text in. Something to get off your chest. Something that you witnessed someone else doing. Maybe you did it yourself. Maybe it's a coworker, a family member. This is the time of the day. It's anonymous. This is, you know, you got to getting closer to the weekend. Get some things off your chest. We go out to the snitch line right now from the 816. Someone says, somebody has to snitch. I saw Cody at the sports bar Sunday. And he was sitting there with a weird CEH doll. And towards the end of the game, he jammed a needle in the doll's hand. And we did that. Clyde Edwards-Alaire fumbled the football.
Oh, like a voodoo doll.
So Cody was sitting there watching the Ravens game with a voodoo doll. It was at a sports bar in Kansas City. So you can blame Cody for the Clyde Edwards-Alaire fumble. There it is. My goodness. Again, Cody? Really? It's happened again, Bink. Thank you for the snitch.
Keeps,
I appreciate that.
Happening with Cody.
I appreciate the snitch there.
Either jumping lines or doing that.
Someone else says, from the 816, I tell everyone that I love Drew Lock, but I secretly think he's a bum.
I don't know why that's a, why you're, what's the payoff for you in this scenario?
I guess they're trying to admit that they've been lying to people when they really think he's not any good.
Why do you feel pressured to tell people you like him?
I don't
him?
Know if, but yeah, this person we need to follow up. I'm guessing they went to MU. Maybe they went to a local high school that he went to. Maybe they just know they're friends with his friends from the area. He's a local kid. I don't know. Maybe that's what they're inferring here, Nick.
Hmm.
No?
I guess. If I were you, I would just be way more open about the fact that you don't think Drew Lock's very good.
913-576-7610. Someone says, when my friend and I were teenagers living in the suburbs of Chicago, we tackled his neighbor's snowman and broke it in a bunch of pieces. The dad of the family snowman went searching throughout the neighborhood for the culprit. I regret that now, but I did some stupid things as a teenager.
Can I read this next one?
Yeah, read whatever you want,
816. My sister-in-law, who lives with me, and her boyfriend have loud sex almost every night. I don't know what to do. His name is Ian, and he moans the whole time. I'll tell you what, man. I had a roommate once who would bring girls over and, girlfriends, whatever.
Yeah.
They were fortunate enough to have sexual encounters, and he was always the loud one, and I always found that odd. It's a little disturbing, honestly, when there's a guy just making loud, guttural sexual noises. Nobody wants to hear that, including the woman you're with. I would assume she doesn't love that you are just screaming at her.
Can I admit something? I'll stitch myself.
Are you saying you're that guy? Is that what you're saying?
I'm Ian.
I had this girl I dated in college. Thin walls, and the neighbors were pretty loud, right? And I was like,
sure. We've all been there with an apartment or whatever where you heard the neighbor. Or you were that neighbor. It's one of the two.
She would leave, and I'd get up on her bed and jump up and down on it.
What? Wait.
To simulate some kind of noise, like, hey, I can do that too. So I may or may not have done that.
So your neighbors were having sex, and you were simulating sex.
Yes.
Seems like they won in this whole thing.
Yes, I was trying to show
Seems like they were the winners here.
I'm pretty sure that's a Key and Peele skit.
What's that?
Pretty sure that's a Key and Peele skit.
Think, are you copying off the comedy skits?
No, but I actually did that, though. That's 100%.
They copied off of you.
I haven't seen the skit, but I did that.
Hmm.
This is like back in 91 or 95.
Someone said that Drew Locke text, probably CDOT texting in about Drew Locke. We can't confirm that. I don't recognize the number. Maybe
someone,
it is.
Someone from the 816, I just discovered that it's very possible a coworker lied on their resume about their college degree. Turns out they probably didn't get one. They've been employed for 5 years and are mediocre at best. What do I do? I'll tell you what you do. Okay? Listen up here. You keep your mouth shut. You mind your own business. Because you go and rat on that guy, I promise you, you're going to get what's coming in life. Do not rat this guy out. If he's that bad,
I mean,
then just let his natural suckiness
Look,
do his thing, and eventually he'll get fired.
Off his table or paying his rent, something like that.
He or she's worked there for 5 years. If they're really not causing you any problems in your work routine, it's not how serious of a job is. Just let this be. It's not your problem. It's not. Now, if that person does something to you a little more so that truly starts impacting you, you have that in your back pocket, but you don't. You just keep your mouth shut. I agree.
Are you saying you let them know that you know?
No. No. You keep that in your back pocket. You don't go try to blackmail him, essentially.
You don't
do that. Come on now. Someone else from the snitch line says, I happened to be randomly turning around in the 610 parking lot the other day when Cody came out of the building after the show. I rolled down the window, told him it wouldn't matter anyway because I still would have had a waiver prior.
You're reading snitching. Two different ones.
Yeah, they're both about Cody,
No, you're
though.
Reading two different.
It says, I happen to be turning around.
I rolled down the window and said, hey, Cody, let's get some Chipotle. I'd like to apologize to Cody for being creepy and uncomfortably freaking him out.
Did that happen?
Cody's not here.
Cody's not the Chipotle guy anyway.
And he's not the type of guy who gets rattled easily. He goes into Quick Trip and vigilante justice stands up for
someone
people.
Else. Yeah, the other one was about something with our guillotine league. Someone snitching on their friend for being a crybaby. About not getting a bid that they wanted on our guillotine league. That's what that was.
I don't care about that. 816, I work for a delivery company and I drag ass every night so I don't have to help other drivers. Come on, dude. Seriously? Like, when you say delivery company, do you mean, like, food delivery? Or do you mean, like, UPS, FedEx?
Amazon Prime?
Because I would assume, don't either one of those jobs, like, track where you've been and how many packages you've delivered? And if you're just, like, sitting around not doing anything, isn't that pretty
easily
verifiable?
Yeah, I mean, most of those are probably GPS monitored. I would think most are GPS monitored.
And if it's not, if it's like food delivery, then like what's in it for you? Because there's no way you're making any money if you're not making any deliveries.
Yeah, they're not tipping you.
So you're really just hurting yourself, dude.
They track everything, even your pizza now when you order it, tells you when it's on the way. They don't tell you the delivery driver's name.
I couldn't tell you the last time I did delivery pizza.
Dude, I got delivery pizza last
night. I haven't done it in a long time. If I do pizza, I usually just go now. Like, I don't even do it a whole lot, but I'll pick it up. Like, I haven't had a national chain pizza delivery.
It wasn't national. Okay. It was local. I'll say that. It was local. And it was the first time in a long time, but
why do you go pick it up? Spot. Why don't you just sit there and chill? You've had a few beers.
Because there's a couple
something.
Right within. Literally, I could walk to one of them right by my place. So why would I?
Save a couple bucks? I mean,
I'm going to make them deliver it to me. I'm a two-minute walk from the place, Bink. I'm not going to make them deliver it to
me. You're not a two-minute walk from anything.
Yeah, I am. No. There's literally a pizza shuttle right by my place.
Okay, now we're getting to some good stuff, boys. All right, from the 913, snitching on myself, I've slept with three different waitresses at the bar I work at in Waldo, and they all think we're exclusive, but we are not. and neither of them know this has happened. I have to work with all three of them Friday night.
Awesome.
You are so effed.
Awesome.
These are the consequences. Yeah, this is not
he's
a good situation.
Play right, though.
This is not a good situation for you.
I would love to be there drinking a beer and watching this guy.
No, this guy is in some serious trouble, and this is the consequence now on Friday night. This is going to be interesting for you tomorrow night, sir. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be a big problem
for this guy.
Because
you know what's going to happen? I've worked in the service industry, and this isn't even a girl thing. It's not a guy thing. It's a waiter and waitresses thing. You know what they all do? They all chat.
Mm-hmm.
They all chit-chat. You think they're not going to be talking on Friday night?
By the end of the shift, they will all know.
You would think they're already
talking. What
are you
doing after the shift? Oh, I think I'm going to hang out with Greg. We've kind of been messing around lately.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Yeah, you're done.
Yeah,
dude.
The guy is screwed.
You are absolutely
text line's
toast.
Right. This guy should call in sick. You can't go to the shift tomorrow night. You can't
they'll
do
still
it.
Talk anyway, even without him there.
That's
like
yeah,
they'll find out one
it's
way
even
the
worse
other.
If he's there.
Where's Greg? I don't know. We just hung out the other night. He was fine.
He can't keep doing this though. He's got to face it.
Hmm.
Just be honest and say what you're doing.
Someone
pick
says,
out
this
the
guy,
one you like best and just admit it.
This guy needs to just get hammered before he goes into work because it's going to be a rough night. I think we all know where this is going, man. You are in trouble.
Well, why would you give them the idea that you're exclusive? Like that's the part where you really messed up.
Yeah, if you would have told him, look, this is an open thing. Still
like,
would be problem. Still would
you
be
know,
problematic.
Sorry, shouldn't have done this. Whatever.
It still would be problematic because it's three people that are at the same workplace, but at least then. They
doesn't sound like much of a problem.
Someone says, no, none of them want anyone at work to know. We're all keeping it a secret. And yes, I'll be drinking.
That's yeah, what you can't keep
hey,
this
hey,
stuff.
Hey, why don't you give us the name of that bar?
Yeah, I'd love to go drink
you
there.
You guys want
to
go there tomorrow night
and
see
watch
how this
it.
All plays out?
Watch the thing unfold. 100%.
That is the snitch line here on a Thursday. Coming up next. Is this really the best case scenario for this position group?
Cody and Gold. Weekdays 10 to 2. 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
What's trending brought to you by the Kansas City Renaissance Festival. Tickets at kcrenfest.com. Well, Lamar Jackson, you know that flip that happened, unfortunately, against Kansas City, what ended up being the game-winning touchdown, or
he's
I guess.
He's very excited.
He was. Look, and no, nobody should be critical of that, but unfortunately for him right now, it might cause some problems as we get closer to this week's game for the Ravens. Well, Lamar Jackson was not at practice today. Jackson said yesterday that his hip was sore from his touchdown flip. So we'll see. I don't think it's any reason to say that he's not going to play yet, but something to keep an eye on. Did not practice.
Without that him, hip's that a, offense.
That,
yeah.
hip's a, that hip's a little, although we could say that with most quarterbacks.
Oh, I know, but still.
But that hip is a little sore. Maybe they're just giving a few days off, getting ready to
I'm
go
sure
for the Lions. They're playing the Lions this week. They could probably still find a way to
modern
win,
medicine, it takes care of everything, so he'll be fine.
Am I a horrible person for chuckling a little bit? I'm like, okay.
And it's because the Ravens won.
You know. I know, that's what I said. That's fine. Like that. Yeah. Like, I
no,
have no
it's
problem.
Hilarious when people are injured, Alex.
Yeah, what the hell?
How about I come over there and break your hip, man? Would that be funny?
No, it's just like, okay.
Have some class.
I like the flip, but what was funny about as he flipped, I was like, you know, this game's not. That flip's gonna look real dumb if they would have lost. They didn't, so it looks good.
How many times have you seen other teams flex and pose and do all the things they get in front of the camera and the whole team, and they end up losing to the Chiefs?
Yeah. He won, though, so it's all good. He ended up winning.
But the whole time I was sitting there saying, be careful,
but Baltimore. It would have been weird doing the flip
Tough, but it's fun. It's tough to monitor that sort of stuff because I'll love it when something's very clearly a catch, like the guy who got 3 feet in on the sideline, and then all the guys on the bench are just like, no. Like, we got to stop. Like, dude, he got 4 feet in.
went out of bounds
voluntarily. They don't care. Or, the fourth down stop. When you very obviously got it by 4 yards, and they're just waving their arms like nope.
that's like a never ending thing that happens at every level of football,
and nobody cares.
It's never gonna go away. It's like that's just one of those things that you know how many times. Like tonight, there's two football games on, right? There's the Appalachian State game that Bink's gonna be glued to, and then there's of course Carolina and Houston, and what Nick just described will absolutely happen a
Some
couple
guy
times.
Guy will reach for the goal line. He goes out of bounds at the 5, and he puts his arms in there, touchdown, right? Yo.
Yeah, it always happens. That's football.
That should be a new segment.
That's football. Bink.
Oh, I like that.
That's football. Yeah, see?
Actually, it's kind of catchy.
His ears perk up like that?
Guy got a cut on his nose last night. Did you guys see that? That's football.
We'll all say it in unison.
Yeah, just like we say, you got chopped. We did that without you the other day. It was terrific.
Yeah.
It was terrifically bad.
Awesome. I want to see Nick addition for the next franchise if you don't get on there tonight.
You know I'm will not be getting glued on to that. There.
I don't know, man.
I've been blackballed.
He had some good takes.
I don't know. Not with the takes he had. I don't think the Chiefs want to promote that. I don't think the Chiefs
want to. The countdown thing made it staged, but, you know.
Well, come on. It's production value, man.
100%. Let's face it, Golden. Tiger King season 2, you can actually watch this.
There is a season 2 of Tiger King, I guess, coming out on Netflix.
Season 2.
I'll watch episode 1. I'll watch episode 1. Yeah. Tiger King was just the perfect documentary at the perfect time. We were all sitting at home with nothing to do at all. I mean, it would have been something that was discussed, but it blew up the way it did because of the time. So they're going to try to profit off of this. And Tiger King season 2, I'll watch one episode. You're not going to watch one episode?
Probably not.
One single one? Joe Exotic?
I watch Hard Knocks, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's not any good anymore.
It's not been good.
It's not good
I'm waiting
good
to see
anymore,
the Colts Bank. In season 1.
Next up on What's Trending, Bank, how about Jamie Collins of the Lions? Looks like he's going to get traded any day now. Not even at the facility with the team anymore. This is year 2 with him in Detroit. Just hasn't panned out. Although he can help a team.
By not being there.
Yeah, he can help another team, and they're willing to let him move on. He doesn't want to be in Detroit.
Who does?
Well, that's why he's gonna get. That's why he's gonna get traded and probably end up on a contender, right?
Yeah, let's start with that. Royals off tonight, back to back off days.
Yeah, I don't like
Kansas
that.
Royals.
Don't
where's
like
Witt,
that.
Where's Witt's pick?
Haven't got
Where
it. Should I send a text again?
He's off. He's probably golfing.
We need the pick.
Guarantee he's golfing.
We really do need the. We need the survivor pick for this week. I'll see if we get it before the end of the show.
I mean, he went out there and got gave that bat out to the Dylan Coleman Bowl.
He did. That is What's Trending. Brought to you by the Kansas City Renaissance Festival. Tickets at kcrenfest.com. Man, one of those turkey legs sounds fantastic right now.
I took third place at one of those.
at the Renfest?
The sword fighting tournament as a kid, yeah.
Seriously?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, I wish there was video of this.
Uh-huh. Eighth grade.
Eighth grade? That's older than I thought you would have. I thought this and was I, like when
and
you
I
were
had no prior experience, too. I was just...
Some poor kid you went up against?
Natural. No, they were all kids.
As I said, some poor
kid.
Yeah,
anybody. I mean, yeah, I would describe any kid who was matched up against me in a duel as a poor kid because of what I did to them.
Okay. No, the turkey legs.
Just all hand-eye coordination, man.
That's skilled.
And these kids came out there with custom outfits, custom swords.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you were dressed up for the times, the Renaissance.
Mm-mm.
I've been to Renfest once or twice, but I really just want some turkey legs, if I'm being real. That's all. That's all that sounds good. Eric,
I don't like Fest. I just don't. So, Festco asked me this morning, what's my favorite festival? And I said, I don't like them.
Festivals.
Bink doesn't
like
Fest
Beer
cool.
Fest. I went to Irish Fest a couple weeks ago. It was awesome.
Was it? No, the beer fests are fine, but I hate the little 4 ounce glass.
Was it? It was just a bunch of live music and food trucks
Irish
and
dancing.
Beer stands.
Beer fests are fine, but the 4 ounce glass, and you wait in that line, it's a little ridiculous. You know how fast I can put 4 ounces of beer
down?
It's
because you're supposed to be sampling beers. You're not.
But I'd rather just go to a bar and just order what I want.
Yeah, but you're around a lot of people.
It's
outside.
About the festivities,
I don't like people,
dude.
It's the atmosphere.
Dude, don't be such a curmudgeon. It's about the festivities and the atmosphere.
But I don't like festivities. I don't like people.
So
I don't
you don't like
festivals.
Going to Oktoberfest or anything?
No.
What do you mean you don't like people?
I'd rather just go to a bar. You heard me. I'd rather just go to a bar, drink a beer, watch the game. You know, I don't need a lot of talk. I don't need that stuff.
Oh, human interaction.
I don't need human interaction.
So you just want to be the guy in the corner at the bar drinking.
And this has nothing to do with COVID or anything. I've hated people before that.
What's your thing against
social
people?
Distance before social distancing was cool.
Human interaction is where life is at. That's where life happens, man. Come on.
No, it really doesn't.
This is actually stunning to me.
Lines in bathrooms, overpriced crap.
You love it when listeners come up to you and say, are you Jay Binkley? I love listening to you, man.
No, I don't, because the last person that did that, I happened to be buying tampons. And I said, this is because I was buying them for a girl or my kid or something like that. And it was embarrassing because I love the show.
Who?
And here I'm buying this. Here I'm buying this stuff.
Oh, wait, you're buying it.
Yeah, I'm buying it. I was alone. I couldn't get out of this one. How'd that get on there? No, I bought it.
Why does it
honestly
matter
what,
in that spot?
Because a grown man buying tampons? Come on, Gold.
Well, they obviously figure you're buying it for, you know, wife or whatever.
Yeah.
Why were you buying them?
It was like, I don't know, man. It was some girl in my life.
What do you mean you don't know?
Girlfriend?
I'll never do it again, I'll tell you that.
It was a girlfriend?
I have kids too, man. I don't know.
Okay. Let's go.
It just never happened again.
Oh, man.
You put it that way.
Well, that's a downer.
Let's talk some Chiefs a little bit, huh?
Yeah,
let's talk some Chiefs, because Eric Eager over at Pro Football Focus said his best case scenario for this Chiefs offensive line might be that Joe Tooney, 3 first-year guys, stay healthy and play well enough that they can walk on Orlando Brown after the season. I just don't know how you can tell me that's the best case scenario for this offensive line. The best case scenario for this offensive line is that Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith and Niang play at a high level, and you have them on rookie deals, and that Orlando Brown Jr., who you gave up a first-round pick for, proves to be your long-term answer at left tackle. That's best case scenario. If you told me that Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, and Niang were really good this season, but Orlando Brown was someone that at the end of the year were like, nah, you can't sign him, that's not best case. That's a problem. Like, I get his thought that you need to have solid players throughout your entire offensive line. You can't just have a stud left tackle and everybody else suck. I understand that. But Orlando Brown Jr. still is part of this key long-term solution at left tackle. Now, we had Steve Palazzolo, also from Pro Football Focus, actually join us on the show right before week one. He came on the show, Bank, and he talked about how you avoid weak spots and how he views this Chiefs O-line.
As far as finding the franchise left tackle, I also don't think that's a necessary thing. I think when you're building an offensive line, the goal should be to just not have weaknesses and to just be, you know, solid, good across the board. And when you add that up, you usually get the sum of the parts ends up being one of the best offensive lines in the league. So it is tough to find 4 or 5 good, solid offensive linemen as starters. So I'll answer the question that way. And so you don't need Joe Thomas. You don't need Orlando Pace at left tackle, but sure, you want to be good, and you just want to be good and with few weaknesses along the offensive line. And I think in the Chiefs' case, they've made a ton of steps to make sure that will be the case going forward.
Yeah, they revamped this all line. We knew that, and yeah, I think you want to have multiple pieces that you feel good about. I just look at it, and he mentions Orlando Pace, and that's a Hall of Famer. So Orlando Brown Jr., I thought unfair criticism a little bit week one. He gave up 5 pressures, but the entire offensive line only allowed 1 sack between Clowney and Garrett. And then we see what Orlando Brown Jr. did on the road against his old team, and he looked dominant at times. I think a lot of that first week was he was going up against Myles Garrett, and it was still week one with this Chiefs offensive line front. I think Orlando Brown Jr. is going to be just fine for this football team. I love what we've got with the offensive line now here in Kansas City. I disagree with the idea that you would swap out Orlando Brown and then still have to go find your left tackle of the future. Not in the middle of this window. You can't afford to go find another new piece next year. Orlando Brown Jr. does have to work out. It's not like, hey, if he's terrible, you have to stick with him. A, I don't think he's going to be terrible. I think he's going to be very good for this football team. But I disagree with the entire notion.
Yeah, Ronnie Stanley goes out, so he had to move to the left side, did an adequate job, makes the Pro Bowl left side. But the building blocks, this offensive line, the foundation, getting the communication together. Like going through the offseason, that's one of the areas you thought was solidified, this offensive line. So you have other pieces like the wide receiver, shoring up the defense, those type of issues for the Chiefs. You don't worry about the offensive line. But you can have stars on your offensive line. The one part I agree is right tackle, left tackle, there's not a lot of difference the way the defensive line and the edge rushers move around from side to side. But you look at the Colts and what they've done, they have bona fide stars on that line with Brayden Smith and Quentin Nelson. You've got stars. Anthony Costanzo was before he retired. But look at the Browns. There's three all pros on that offensive line. That's why that team can be viable, because of that line. And then you have Jedrick Wills in there. He's his second year. He's an all pro or Pro Bowl caliber type tackle for the Browns. I think you can have superstars. It took a lot just to – it's still unfathomable that Orlando Browns, even with the Chiefs. And, again, you know, like Villanueva was the left tackle this last week, and he had talked about how the right tackle just wasn't a fit for him because he spent all his time in the career as a left tackle. Well, it's different discipline moving right to left. And I think we forget at times that Orlando Brown, not only is he had to play right tackle in the NFL, got a cup of coffee there at left tackle, different offensive system with the Chiefs compared to the Ravens. And he's even talked about that. So these are all the acclimation project. And by week four or five, when the gelling really comes together for this offensive line, yeah, you keep this offensive line together intact and you keep building it forward. Having this line come back next year, so when Andy Reid or Patrick Mahomes asked about the line, like, hey, they've been together, they've worked together, they communicate well, the communication's down. The language of the line, because there is one.
And they're all, you know, not all of them, but when we're talking about Humphrey and Trey Smith and Yang, they're on rookie deal. I mean, it's cheap. That's why you're able to spend the money on Joe Tooney. You're able to potentially have to spend the money on Orlando Brown Jr. I just don't know how it can be best case scenario if you told me that Orlando Brown Jr. is not on this football team next year somehow in some scenario.
It's one area you thought you had done.
Because then you would have to, in that scenario, what do you do? Are you moving Niang to left tackle, and then you got to go still find a right tackle? And right tackles, this past 2 weeks, one got $90 million. Like, so you're paying either way. I disagree with the idea that would be an okay scenario where somehow Orlando Brown wasn't on the team. I think Orlando Brown Jr. is going to be really good, too, for this football team.
Yeah, I love what he showed last week against his former team. It was great stuff. And Orlando Brown, keep in mind, you get him in sync with Joe Tooney next to him. That's huge. Having Tooney and Orlando Brown, hopefully it starts paying dividends in the run game, having those guys blocking up front with Creed Humphrey there on that left side. The left side should be solidified where you have running lanes because, again, Joe Tooney good at the run game, so the same with Orlando Brown.
I completely agree. I completely
agree. Like,
Clyde
should be thriving. Like, here,
well, that's why, being when we talk about Clyde in the 3.3 yards per carry, like, there's no excuse for that with this offensive line that he has.
He could fall forward and get that sometimes.
And we'll see, based off of the comments this week and with Andy Reid talking about, now he recognizes he knows what he needs to do, but kind of just said, yep. But that was his kind of response, essentially, to...
Well, that was the response, man.
Yep, or yes.
It was, yeah.
That was,
because that's a big difference. There's a big difference between yep, yes, and yeah. Bink, you know that as well as anybody.
We're reading a lot into one word, but I think we can on this part.
I don't think it's just one word.
Yeah.
That has meaning.
Yeah, I know what we got to do. I know what we got to do.
No, it's yeah.
Like, yeah, he knows what he needs to do.
Stupid question. Next.
He knows what he needs to do.
I'm going to tell you this right now. And this man has won a Super Bowl. This man has brought a Lombardi trophy to Kansas City. I've never had more faith in the Chiefs head coach than I do right now after listening to him answer that question about the O-line.
To me, it's spelled
the running
problem. To me, it's spelled
even
he
better.
Knows exactly what the problem
even
is,
better.
And we'll see if he fixes it against the Chargers. Like, to me, yeah,
I'm not worried about the offense.
Andy Reid knew on the plane coming back.
This offense is going to be perfectly fine.
Just fine. It's overreaction. Were you overreacting 2 years ago when they lost 3 out of 4 and they won the Super Bowl? Why overreact now?
One way or the other, they're going to figure it out, right? I mean, that's essentially with the answer that Andy Reid had. Whatever that solution is, whether it involves Clyde Edwards-Helaire continuing to get better, whether it involves using Jerick McKinnon a little bit more, whether it involves using Darrell Williams more, they're going to get this running game figured out. And ultimately, it's never going to be about the running game, right? It's going to be, yes, you want some balance, but still, it's Mahomes and Kelce and Hill. When it all comes down to it, that's what it is. And they showed, though, that they're able to have some third options step up. We had Byron Pringle join us earlier on the show, and a lot of people feel like he needs a bigger opportunity. We'll see. Does that ever happen? I think he should be getting more opportunities over DeMarcus Robinson. But I don't think just because we've seen what we've seen from Pringle that it automatically means if you gave him double the targets that he's going to be a top-tier wide. Like, the way some people talk about it is if all of a sudden Pringle got as many targets as Mecole Hardman, if he would have triple the production. Byron Pringle's not stepping in and being an 1,100-yard receiver for this team either. But that's the way some people talk about it. They think that if he got as many targets as Hardman, that he'd be doubling Hardman's 600-yard production. That's just not going to happen.
It's going to be by committee, but it's a revolving resume right now. Because Andy Reid's going to dance with whoever's getting him the wins. Patrick Mahomes is going to throw to whoever catches the football. And you got to do the little things. As I mentioned, Pringle, Watkins did those little things. And right now, mm-hmm. I'm seeing some of those things from Pringle. The blocking downfield.
On that Kelsey touchdown.
The stuff that's not glamorous, but results in a touchdown by Travis Kelsey and an amazing run he had. That stuff all counts. And the kick returner mentality when he gets the football in his hands, it's a pretty special deal, making the best out of his opportunities. But this is how he rolls. That's what he's always done. That's how he made this team. It's not about money, not about the draft selection. Talked about losing weight this high. Again, I don't know why you would say that, but it's hard to lose weight if you're already in shape, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he's, I think.
Like Chris Jones lost weight, did yoga and all that. Okay. Pringle is already fine. He did it anyway. He's always constantly working on things.
Yeah, the next three games will tell a lot about this whole team, I mean, whether it's the Chargers this week, then Philadelphia on the road, and then home against Buffalo.
The first five weeks
gotta get
sorted
out.
We knew this team.
And we knew the schedule, the way it shook out, right, that this was going to be – these are tests. These are good tests to figure out where you're at as a football team. There's no doubt about that.
The final word.
Someone on the text line said, after you said you don't like hanging out with people, they said they met you last year at a place here in town for their work's Christmas party, Bank. And they said they think they creeped you out because you told him and my wife, I knew it was him just by his voice.
I enjoy meeting people.
They heard your voice.
I said I don't like people in general, but I enjoy meeting
people. He said he was the guy wearing the unicorn ugly sweater. Remember this guy?
Yeah, it's a good dude. He's like 6'10". Those are all good dudes. His wife, too. Good people.
I didn't know you'd be the bowling alley type. You.
What the hell did you expect me to be?
I didn't know you'd be a guy at the bowling alley.
What the hell?
I didn't know you'd be Jay Beakley at the bowling alley.
I don't mind throwing a little
Big Lebowski bowling? Or something. Yeah. I don't know, man. Bink, thanks for filling in today, man.
I enjoyed it.
I think Cody's back tomorrow. Honestly, I don't know. Maybe more fatty tissue getting removed like Anthony Hitchens. I'm not sure. Nick, good to have you back, my man. Good luck with Survivor League. I found out Whit Merrifield going with the Denver Broncos in
man,
the Survivor
choice,
against
Whit.
The New York Jets. We're back at it tomorrow, 10 to 2.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.